Hi, everyone, and welcome to this edition, our Thanksgiving weekend edition of Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider. We hope you've enjoyed family and friends throughout the weekend. We also hope you've enjoyed one of the hottest teams in the National Football League, the Kansas City Chiefs, who've won four straight, and doing so, playing seven of their first 10 games away from Arrowhead Stadium. Now that changes as four of the next six are at home. It starts against the Buffalo Bills, another AFC challenger and a very tough team that's coming off a short week. The Bills had to play Monday Night Football at Foxborough against the New England Patriots, and now they'll come to Arrowhead today to face the Chiefs. Special teams coordinator Dave Tobe has his units playing at a superb level again. Right now, the Kansas City Chiefs are second in the entire NFL in starting average field position. His punter, Dustin Colquitt, is doing unprecedented things as he kept San Diego pinned deep with three punts inside the 10-yard line in the victory against the Chargers in Southern California. It's something he's doing every week, and we'll talk about it later in the show. Plus, in our feature segment, we'll look at the incredible career of the newest chief in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Will Shields, who many think is the best right guard to ever play in the National Football League. Shields will be honored with a special ceremony in today's Chiefs-Bills game. But first, let's check in with the largest player ever to score an offensive touchdown in NFL history. Dontari Poe scored from 1 yard out against the San Diego Chargers. And now Poe is just 41 touchdowns short of Jamaal Charles' career rushing record. He sits down with our Chiefs reporter B.J. Kissel as we go under the helmet with the Chiefs' new two-way weapon.
Seconds remaining in the first quarter, no score. Kansas City's got Dontari Poe in at fullback. They give it off to Poe. Poe trying to slam into the end zone. He's got it. Touchdown! Kansas City, Dontari Poe on a fullback plunge.
All right, Dontari, anybody that saw you after the game last week saw how excited you were for your touchdown run. My question is just, how excited were you when that play was installed? Let alone actually get the call, but how excited were you at practice when you heard that that play was going
to
be installed?
Really excited. You know, the linemen don't get a chance to score touchdowns on offense much, so it's something that, that guys like me dream about. So I was really excited when they got put in.
Is that something you were campaigning for, or did they come to you?
I talk to them every day. Every day, I tell them it's an automatic six, and I'm good from 10 in. So just to let them know I got it.
Right here. Stay ready.
Now, that play had been installed for over a year. How much time did you and Alex spend actually practicing that handoff? Because it's not something you're used to doing.
A couple times. Alex is a guy that has to have the right feel for it. So he told me a couple times to get it out to practice, and we did a few times, but it was none too hard.
And I asked you after the game, but it wasn't predetermined you were jumping. That just kind of happened.
It just happened. Felt good. I don't know why I did it, to be honest with you. I forgot I did it. I just know I needed a way to get in, and I got there, so it's turned out good.
Afterwards, once you got in the end zone, you did what we saw Mike DeVito do it 2 weeks ago. You did it this time. Did the dab. Where did that start? How did that come about?
Inspired by Mike DeVito, man. He did it, so I felt like I had to give me an opportunity to do it. But pretty much something that just happened spur of the moment, just having fun, and that's the first thing that came to me.
Stafford again under pressure. Yeah. Now he's wrapped up. They're going to sack him again. Sack after sack after sack. Dontari Poe gets his first sack of the season.
Now, a couple of the guys on the defensive line that you spend a lot of time with Jay and Allen in particular, they're arguably having two of the best seasons of their career. When you look at this defense and what you guys have accomplished over the last six games or so, how much do you take the responsibility up front and set the tone for what happens on the back end?
First of all, those guys are monsters. They're dogs, man. They come out every week and they get it done. No matter what the opponent, who the opponent, no matter what the obstacle, they just come out and get it done. And I just feel like us as a defense, we try to lead those guys. We're the first line of defense, man. We're the D-line.
Y'all know how it go, man. We dominate. Team dominate. O-line, D-line dominate. Man, we win this game.
We play good. I feel like everybody play good. So we kind of take it upon ourselves to do that every Sunday.
How about those Chiefs?
During this four-game winning streak, started 1-5. Now you're sitting at 5-5. All the goals, everything you guys want to accomplish is in front of you. How is Andy Reid's just personality and how he kind of addresses you guys and his just kind of even-keeled demeanor kind of helped you guys be in the position you are today?
Like you said, it's an even keel. He never panics, never gets too high, gets too low. So it keeps our minds right. It keeps us focused, keeps us on the straight line. So for him being that guy that's leading us to victory, it's really good for him to have that quality.
You've given up less than 10 points per game during this four-game winning streak. How do you maintain this, and what do you see particularly against your opponent this Sunday in the Buffalo Bills?
There's no magic to it. There's no magic potion. It's just us doing what we got to do. Every individual fighting hard as he can to be a part of the one of 11. So as long as we keep doing that, I think we'll be all right. Buffalo is real good. Got a lot of good players, man. Tyrod Taylor, they got McCoy, who's amazing, and they present a lot of hard matchups, but I feel like we can handle it.
The life of a special teams coordinator in the National Football League is not easy, and Chiefs coordinator Dave Tobe has to live his life on the fly. After losing kickoff and punt returner DeAnthony Thomas early in the San Diego game, Tobe had to improvise. He's doing another great job with this Chiefs team, including the best punter in the National Football League in Dustin Colquitt, and he has seen the dramatic improvement of his second-year place kicker, Cairo Santos, who's in the top six in the NFL in the number of touchbacks, and he's been money on most of his field goal tries all season long. In our Coach's Corner segment, we set down who we think is the best special teams coordinator in the entire NFL, Dave Tobe. Dave, special teams starting to come together a little bit. It's exciting to see it. But I want to ask you specifically about Cairo Santos, where he's at right now, how far he's come, and why he's had the improvement.
Confidence. I mean, I think that's the number one thing with him. You know, being his second year, he's got a year under his belt, and he's really developed. And he's making some kicks now.
Seven field goals by Cairo Santos.
He's learning the finer points of football right now. I mean, he's learning different things as far as kickoff goes and, you know, where to place the ball and how important it is to hang the ball, you know, and different things like that. It's not all about trying to drive it, you know, for a touchback. And he's understanding those things, and he's a student of the game, and he continues to get better. He has confidence, and we have confidence in him. You know, and the team has confidence in him. It's like, okay, Cairo, you know, go do your thing. And, you know, that's everything for a kicker.
You had Robbie Gould in Chicago, and his career went like this through different stages. For Cairo, what would be the next stage for him in his growth?
Probably consistency. Just can, you know, put it over a period of time. You know, that's the big difference between him and Robbie right now is, you know, Robbie obviously has got a lot of pelts on the wall right now. And, you know, he just needs to be consistent, you know, and we got a lot of football left.
People criticize me for getting too excited about Colquitt. How unusual is he as a punter and what he does for you?
He may be the best there ever has been as far as putting the ball inside the 20. I mean, he's really got a knack for it. You know, it's an art form for him. I mean, he really takes it serious. I mean, he gets really mad when he hits a touchback, you know, and he wants to be the guy that does it on his own. He doesn't want to have to use the gunners, you know, to go down and make a play. He wants the ball to stop. You know, he wants to be able to make it go out of bounds. And, you know, when he does his thing, and then and just in case he doesn't do his job, we have the gunners there, too. It makes this real dangerous.
Herndon looks at it, takes it, now fumbles it, and Jamil Fleming picks it up.
Everybody wants to do the job right because they know how important it is to him, you know, and how important it is to the team. I mean, everybody understands how important field position is, and being able to put your defense, you know, in that situation right there is huge.
I tell fans all the time that your job's tough. I mean, you got a lot of factors. But younger guys and how they progressed. How are your younger guys doing and how far have they come? Because now we're going into the stretch run.
We came into the season, we had a lot of big turnover. We lost a lot of guys and we had a lot of young players. And we've had a lot of young guys really step up. I mean, Dan Sorensen, he's a second-year guy, but he's really, really improved. I mean, he's a veteran out there. He's playing like a five-year veteran, making plays, onside kicks, attacking the ball. I mean, just doing things for us. And then one of the true rookies right now, I mean, DJ Alexander, he's our leading tackler right now. He's got a bunch of tackles, and he's doing a really good job for us.
The blend there, though, I want to ask you about Anthony Sherman, because it seems like every time I'm calling some.
Sherman's a veteran. Yeah, he's the veteran of the group, and he's a leader. He's not only a leader for us on special teams, but he's a leader as a whole in the whole locker room. I mean, he's the enforcer. He makes sure everybody's doing all the right things, and he's a great asset to have in a football team.
Final question, Dave, and you've been involved in the football version of a pennant race. You've seen this all the way to a Super Bowl. Now coming into the stretch run, what has to happen with your group for this to end strong?
Can't be satisfied. You know, we have to continue to strive to get better. You know, we talk about getting better every game. You know, we don't want to come in on a Tuesday and watch the tape and say, hey, we regressed. You know, we want to get better and better each day and never make the same mistake twice. As long as we keep doing that, we'll be exactly where we need to be at the end of the year.
Chiefs Insider is brought to you by Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. Overland Park Auto Group, home of the Red Friday Rally. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City, live fearless. And by Midwest Ford Dealers, the official car and truck of the Kansas City Chiefs.
All right, BJ, well, it's the Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills, two teams all of a sudden in this AFC playoff picture. The Chiefs are coming off of four wins in a row, and this Buffalo team will enter their third road game in a row coming off that loss against the Patriots on Monday night.
It's crazy to think that 4 weeks ago we'd be sitting here talking about the playoff picture right now, but that's exactly what it is. Eight teams in the AFC right now that are either at 5-5 or at 4-6. There's a lot of teams in the mix, a lot of football left to be played, but you start thinking about these games and how they may affect things down the road. You want to get those deciding games, and the Chiefs are in a pretty good spot because they've already got tiebreakers against the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Houston Texans, one of those teams that sit in 5-5. They can win this Sunday against the Bills. Obviously, still a lot of football to be played, but it puts them in a pretty good spot that they'll have some tiebreakers should it come down to that.
Now, so much is made about Rex Ryan and this Bills defense, and we'll get to that, but starting with the quarterback, Tyrod Taylor's a guy who really has started for the first time this year.
Yeah, it's pretty surprising. I mean, everybody was a little bit surprised when he was named the starter. He'd only attempted 35 passes coming into this season, so he's a little bit of an unknown, but he's completing 67% of his passes, has 11 touchdowns, just 4 interceptions in his 8 starts. He's making plays. Now, he was a little banged up in that Monday Night Football game against the Patriots with a little bit of a shoulder and a chest, but for anybody that saw him, you saw that they were in that game. He was out there making plays, and one thing that I know that defensive coordinator Bob Sutton's going to talk a lot about this week as they prepare for Taylor is the defensive guys staying in their rush lanes. Tyrod Taylor is 6'1", 215 pounds, not the biggest guy. He likes to get out and run, has 5 rushes for 20 yards or more, which leads their team, so he's a threat anytime he decides to tuck it and run. Chiefs defense got to be ready for it.
A connection to the Chiefs and to Andy Reid more specifically is someone who came over in the offseason for the Buffalo Bills, running back LeSean McCoy.
When you look at what LeSean McCoy was able to do under Andy Reid and a lot of these offensive guys down in Philly, 3,800 yards, 30 touchdowns, his first 4 years of his career, and we know what a bona fide playmaker he is. As a whole, the Bills have 12 rushes of 20 yards or more, which ranks 5th most in the NFL, and LeSean McCoy is a huge part of that. He's definitely somebody that they've got to be ready for. He looks to be back and healthy at over 20 carries against the Patriots. Chiefs got to be ready for him.
So on offense, we're focusing on Tyrod Taylor and LeSean McCoy, but what about this Bills defense?
There's a lot of guys. Anytime you talk about a Rex Ryan defense, you're going to talk about pressure. You're going to talk about what those guys up front do. You talk about the defensive line. Talk about Marcell Dareus, Kyle Williams, Mario Williams, and you got Jerry Hughes coming off the edge. He's blossomed into one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. But the guy that I'm really interested to watch play in this game is one of their rookies, cornerback Ronald Darby out of Florida State. And when you talk about NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year watch and players that people are looking at, Ronald Darby and our very own Marcus Peters are two of the guys everybody's talking about. Darby leads the NFL with 18 passes defensed. He's really been a shutdown corner for them at such an early age. It's really helped their defense, which when you talk about Rex Ryan, you talk about pressure. Bob Sutton, our guy that we know likes to dial up creative pressures, he spent 4 years with Rex Ryan in New York, so he knows what they like to do, the pressure and all the schemes that we like to run, the same things that they were doing there. So anytime you face Rex Ryan, you got to be ready for the pressure.
Welcome back to the show. If you polled most Chiefs Kingdom fans, they would tell you they were truly thankful for the career of Will Shields. 22 years ago, he entered the Chiefs starting lineup, and he never missed a game after that. Shields was considered one of the greatest offensive linemen of all time, maybe the best right guard, and his toughness, his intelligence, and his athleticism in many ways was unprecedented. Let's revisit the Hall of Fame career of Will Shields with an excerpt from our award-winning Chiefs Kingdom show.
Offensive linemen very seldom get the credit for an explosive offense. make sure you make your mark today.
It normally goes to the offensive coordinator or the head coach.
Game time on three. Lock on three.
Game time.
But you can't do all the things we did with our offense over the 5 years without a Will Shields. He made it easy. He had no limitation. Never have been around a guard that could do so many things so well.
Green holds left side with an opening. Oh, touchdown!
Will Beautiful Shields shot. With the big block up front.
First, Chiefs are driving. Holmes with another big hole inside the 10.
Will Shields had one heck of a block at the point of attack.
Holmes, first down and more.
Will Shields doing a great job of getting push on those guys.
Typically, you break down O-linemen. They have the ability to run in space and block in space. Can they get to the second level? Are they good man blockers, zone blockers? Will could do all those things.
He was, for many games, their backup tackle. And, in fact, went to tackle for a game.
Now that's Will Shields. He's making his first start ever at left tackle in this league. In this offense, Kurt, as many deep drops as Elvis Gerbach has, that is a very difficult position to play.
You know, he had all these injuries, and all of a sudden, here's Will Shields out there kicking everybody's butt at tackle.
Gerbach, all kinds of time.
Being able to play, you know, basically three positions in one game was, I mean, unheard of.
The thing that's impressive right now is the pass protection that Gerbach has gotten all day with a reshuffled line.
I mean, then you knew right there that, hey, this guy's special.
Tony Richardson into the open field.
Will Shields at left tackle has been outstanding today.
There was a game in 2004 on Monday night where they mic'd up Ray Lewis.
We'd gone 0-3 to start out, and we come in, we just decided, Al Saunders, Mike Saunders, we're going to pound the ball.
Reese Holmes busts one into Raven territory.
This Kansas City offensive line, that front group, has whipped the Raven defensive front group.
Coach, I'm talking about every play, I got two men on me, every single play.
I can remember Ray Lewis saying, Coach, they got two guys on me. They got two guys on me. They only had one guy on them.
Then they would show snap after snap where he was being manhandled one-on-one, and Will Shields was that guy a lot of the time.
They give it to Holmes, and Holmes is in again for the touchdown behind a Will Shields block.
Here was this, you know, vaunted Ravens defense, and the Chiefs were just running right over him.
Will did an unbelievable job of getting to the second level, getting up on linebackers through combinations, having that feel of when you can leave without putting the guy next to you in peril.
And I remember Will getting into it with Ray Lewis because Ray Lewis was really frustrated on how well he was being blocked. He was being handled by Will Shields that day.
We went all out here, everything we got. Cowboys ready, hell yeah!
Chiefs football. Chiefs access. Chiefs insight that you can't find anywhere else.
How about those Chiefs, baby?
Here on your home of the Chiefs.
Hey, thanks for joining us on this week's show. The AFC playoff race looks like Black Friday shopping lines. There's a lot of teams that think they have a crack at the postseason. After having a home game against Buffalo, the Chiefs go right back on the road to play the Oakland Raiders. Now, think tiebreakers here and just how important division games are, whether they're at home or on the road. We'll get you ready for Raiders Week right here on Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider.
Chiefs Insider is brought to you by Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. Overland Park Auto Group, home of the Red Friday Rally. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City, live fearless. And by Midwest Ford Dealers, the official car and truck of the Kansas City Chiefs.